Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Robert Knott is going to be with us speaking of the arts, and we're going to be talking to Marty Rosenberg about an exhibition that is opening tonight that is, among other things, a benefit for KSFR. I'm happy now to welcome Joe Troggitt. He is curator of 20th century art at the New Mexico Museum of Art, and his exhibition, Soulmates, Cowboy Boots and Art, opens tomorrow, Saturday, at the museum from noon until 2 o'clock. It's free admission at that during those times, and there's a book signing that he will be doing from 1 to 3. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me.
So Soulmates, spelled S-O-L-E, it's a show of cowboy boots and all kinds of images of cowboys and of the West. How did you bring this together? How did you develop this idea?
Well, it started with a small cowboy boot show. And the more I thought about it, it began incorporating works of art. And the idea expanded until it was really about changing attitudes toward the West. And the exhibition then includes historic representational works from the 1890s. It runs through contemporary works, conceptual works about the West. It includes material culture. It includes pop culture. It's a very broad look at changing ideas that we have about ourselves.
One of the very first people I ever had on this program when it started nearly 7 years ago was Lon Taylor, who's a cowboy historian. And one of the things I learned from him was that the actual work of being a cowboy, not now, but then in the 19th century, was hard. It was dirty and lonely and hungry and ugly and smelly and hot in the summer and cold in the winter, and nobody in their right mind would want to do it. And now we have this image of the glamorous, romanticized cowboy. How did that come to be?
Well, this idea about the cowboy life is one that has clearly changed over time. I have a large section about this. It's called The Cowboy Life is a Dreary, Dreary Life. And all the sections of the exhibition are plays off of song titles or lines from cowboy lyrics. The cowboy really changed, the image that we have of the cowboy changed with the movies of the 1930s, with TV Saturday morning programs that I saw when I was a youth. And it was very easy to romanticize that sense of freedom that the cowboy represented. And that's another section of the exhibition. And that's about freedom and loneliness. And that section is called It Was Once in the Saddle I Used to Go Dashing. And so the exhibition really plays off of these mythic ideas that we have about the West. And it's such a diverse show that our visitors will get a broad view of the West and how it's changed and how we have changed with it.
Tell us about the role of the artist Frederick Remington in giving us, and especially giving people outside of the West, their ideas of what the West was all about.
Well, in 1888, Theodore Roosevelt wrote a whole series of essays in Century Magazine talking about ranching. He owned two ranches at the time. They were not doing very well. And his essay explained the toughness of ranching in the West. But it was Remington who illustrated his essays. And so the wood engravings and line engravings made from his drawings captured a whole series of classic views of what cowboys did. They branded, they roped, they stopped stampedes. And so all of these images became icons of the West for those East Coast readers of Century Magazine in 1888. And because that magazine was around, it would have been sort of the life look and Saturday Evening Post of the time. people really connected those particular images with the West. And so that's where the romance of the West really started.
And there's something which it comes up in so many different ways, but when people live very urban lives and they're cut off from the land and all of that, they really tend to romanticize, whether it be the Native American Indians or the cowboys or anybody who has that connection to the land and the sky and animals.
And so one of the ways that we make that connection in Soulmates is by combining a pair of exceedingly rare 1880s cowboy boots with a bound copy of Century Magazine open to a wonderful image of cowboys eating at the chuck wagon. And so it's that sense of combining cowboy boots as symbols of these changing ideas about the West that really drives this exhibition home.
What is the oldest known extant pair of cowboy boots? Do you have them in the show?
You know, I don't know how to answer that, but the pair that we have are about as early as they get. Cowboy boots evolved out of the military Wellington-style boots from the Civil War. And what's interesting, those boots had rounded toes and did not differentiate between the left foot and the right foot. They were sort of generic boots. And as cowboys would ride to Kansas, when they got there, they were paid, they needed new boots, new clothing, and they asked the bootmakers to begin to modify that style so it was better for them. So toes became pointed, heels went higher, and so the classic cowboy boot that we think of today really is a byproduct of young cowboys in the 1880s, 1890s, asking their bootmakers to modify the style of the time.
And that was really for functional reasons.
Completely functional reasons. The exotic, stylish boots that we think of today began probably in the 1920s, picked up steam with the cowboy movies of the 1930s, and reached a peak probably right after World War II. And cowboy boots were exceedingly popular, not only with adults, but also with children. And I pride myself as being part of that generation.
Well, you've got some wonderful pictures in the catalog of 5- and 6-year-old boys with their little cowboy outfits on. Were you one of those?
I had some of that. I did not have boots. I have flat feet, and my mother would never allow me to have cowboy boots. But I did have a cowboy shirt, and we all wanted to be cowboys and cowgirls at the time.
Now, wherever we go, people dress to symbolize who they are and what their values are. And the attire of the cowboy symbolizes a whole set of values about the West. How would you describe those values?
Well, they involve freedom. They involve changing attitudes about gender. They are clearly tied up with senses of fashion and allure. And cowboy boots play a critical role in all of those areas of our lives. I think what's so great about cowboy boots is that you can wear a suit and tie to work and be wearing your cowboy boots and look pretty conventional.
At least out here.
Even on the East Coast.
Really?
Yeah. I've got a pair of cowboy boots that had belonged to Luis Jimenez. George Bush II invited him to the first state dinner that they had at the White House. And he showed up in this pair of red boots, and he wore that underneath his tuxedo. And George Bush wore a pair of black cowboy boots under his tuxedo. And when you come to the exhibition, there are three wonderful lithographs about honky-tonk life that Jimenez made, and I have those pair of red boots that go right with them.
We're talking to Joe Trogett about the exhibition Soulmates, which opens tomorrow at the New Mexico Museum of Art. You mentioned a moment ago changing ideas about gender. Say more about that.
Well, the vision of the cowboy, the vision of the West, is a very masculine one. And that's truly a mythic construct as well. And what we show are a series of images of women engaged in exactly the same kinds of ranch duties that the men would do. And so from, you know, the end of the 19th century forward, ranchers, cowboys, women on the range had a very different lifestyle than the conventional urban job descriptions that people might have had. I think one thing that's happening with the opening, which sort of plugs into this idea, is we're asking people to wear their cowboy boots to the opening, and we're doing a thing called Show Us Your Boots. And so we hope that people will hike up their pant legs and show us their cowboy boots. We'll be photographing them, and they will go on our website. So this is really an interactive exhibition. And all of Santa Feans and New Mexicans who wear boots can come to the show and be curated into it. So we're very happy about that.
It actually amazes me how many people I've met who have stories about cowboy boots and of one kind or another. Are you collecting those stories a little bit?
We collected some of those. The one thing about this topic, as we got into it, it's really an encyclopedia, not a short exhibition with a publication. And it was really difficult to keep focused on a few ideas and attitudes about the West that hadn't been explored very well. The art from the museum's collections, I think, express a lot of those changing ideas and also show the breadth of the ideas and images that we have in the collection.
From the reality of the cowboy's actual life to the movies, to then the image of the Marlboro Man, you have an ever more kind of stylized and mythical image. And I have to say, once, years ago, when I first moved here, I had a friend come to visit from Alaska, and she walked up Canyon Road, and she came back to my apartment very perplexed, and she said, "Are people here in costume, or do they really dress like that? What's going on?"
Well, the exhibition starts with some advertisements for Marlboro's, Marlboro Man. Marlboro as a cigarette started off as an elite cigarette that was mostly advertised to women. And after they put filters on the cigarettes, the popularity with the men who were smoking these elite cigarettes went down. And so they cast about for models who would change that vision. And so one of the first that they had was a man in white tie. He's holding his wrist toward the viewer. And what you see is just a little bit of a tattoo on the back of his wrist. So he was clearly a very masculine man who had been in the military. And then another version included a man in a cowboy hat, denim shirt, same wrist toward the viewer, same similar tattoo. And it was that image that that was really popular. And so Marlboro adapted that as their logo. What's interesting is that Camel Cigarettes, two decades earlier, had been promoting their brand with rodeo riders. And so the sense of the outside world thinking of Marlboro and the West and as an international symbol of America, it's a very contradictory symbol that has very awkward roots.
I guess it sold a lot of cigarettes.
I guess it has over many, many decades. And one of the things that I think people will enjoy is some of the tweaks that we have in the exhibition. So after we learned of all of the ill effects of smoking, California made a parody of the Marlboro Man, and he has a kind of limp cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and that's a reference to sexual problems that can be engendered by cigarette smoking.
Indeed. Now, let's talk about some of the objects, and specifically the boots. Boots have become really works of art in their own right, and you've got some beautiful examples of these boots. What is the artistic, I mean, it's, are they always functional? I mean, are there some boots that are so much works of art that nobody wears them? Are they always meant to be worn?
Well, that's kind of an interesting question. I like to think of bootmakers who continue to make handmade boots. It's a very small group of artisans who do that. I think of them as artists who make leather sculptures, and those leather sculptures just happen to be cowboy boots that could be worn. And oftentimes they are. Sometimes they're just kept in the box. But we have four works by Lisa Sorrell, who is probably the best bootmaker around right now. Her colors, her shapes, her stitching is just exquisite. And then we have Adina McGuffin from the South Valley in Albuquerque. She's a third-generation bootmaker. Her grandfather started a shop, taught the trade to his son. And in the 80s, when Dina asked her father to teach her the trade, he, of course, said no. And he said no because women aren't supposed to be bootmakers. And so this is another example of a woman who has become a great bootmaker, and I have her Day of the Dead boots in the exhibition. And yet at the same time, this is an example of those sort of changing gender attitudes and changing attitudes about jobs that are appropriate for men or for women. So I think Dina offers a number of twists on how the West has evolved over the 20th century.
And one of the things she does is she won't use any endangered leathers.
Right.
Some people do. I think there's, am I right that there's some kangaroo boots in the show made from kangaroo leather?
Well, I don't have any kangaroo in the show itself, but
it was in the catalog, yeah.
Exotic leathers are very popular with some parts of the boot-buying public, and then those kind of leathers are not popular with another segment of the boot audience.
What are some of your favorite objects in this show?
Well, if I had to pick one, I'd say it was probably those 1880s cowboy boots that Jim Arndt, the cowboy boot photographer, has lent us. He's a wonderful collector. And another pair that I kind of like, Donald Woodman has a pair of, they're called Tenny Llamas, a pun on Tony Llama, but those are athletic shoe bottoms with leather shafts sewn together. And that's another pair that I think is really, quite exceptional.
So one of the things that is so interesting about the time that we live in is that you get to do shows like this in which pop culture and commerce and works of art and material objects and functional objects are all incorporated into an exhibition.
Well, 3 years ago, the Museum of Fine Art changed its name to the Museum of Art. And we're always asked, well, why did you change your name? And I think one reason is that with the broader category of just the Museum of Art, it allows us to bring into our exhibitions and our publications a broader range of objects that all work together. I think of all of this as art, but what interests me is that it really represents a range that goes from commercial, popular culture, images, all the way to the most elite fine art. And the broader the range of objects that we can put on display, the more we can appeal to a broader segment of our population.
So here we are in Santa Fe, New Mexico, in the West, in a real, in the midst of all sorts of cultural turning points, where having this idea of the endless vast landscape is no longer an option, and we've been destroying our landscape in so many different ways, and yet this romanticism is still with us. So when you talk about changing attitudes about the West, where are we at, and how does this exhibition help us see that?
Well, I think what the exhibition does is allow us to look back and see how we thought about things in the 1890s. I've got some postcards from the mid-century that include terminology that is clearly racist, that was common speak mid-20th century. These are really it's important for us to understand how our attitudes continue to change. And while we think of ourselves as being very progressive and forward-thinking, you know, 50 years from now, people are going to look back and be poking fun at us in the same way we're looking back and poking fun at, you know, attitudes from 50 years ago or 75 years ago.
Joe Traugott is curator of 20th Century Art at the New Mexico Museum of Art. The exhibition Soulmates, Cowboy Boots and Art opens tomorrow, Saturday, at the museum. It's from noon to 2. That's when museum admission is free, and Joe will be signing books from 1 to 3. And I have to say, I love this book with the beautiful photographs and the leather, sort of leather look cover.
Well, David Skolkin at the Museum of New Mexico Press did a spectacular job with the design, and I couldn't imagine what the book really would look like, but he put it over the top.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
I look forward. Thanks so much.
We're going to take a break right now. Please stay tuned. I'm very happy now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the education reporter for the Santa Fe New Mexican. He writes for the Pasa Tiempo, which is Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe New Mexican. Welcome, Robert.
I'm a lonesome cowboy.
Yes, you are.
Far away from home. That was a great interview.
Oh, thank you.
It's going to be a fun show. And I'm getting my cowboy boots resold, so I may show up in sneakers, but I do intend to go by tomorrow. We can mention it later on.
Excellent.
Hey, what's Marty Rosenberg up to? Isn't he
Marty Rosenberg, yeah, he seems to be sitting at this table with a microphone on his head.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. He's with the Vintage Poster Gallery, which is having an opening, which is not only an opening of wonderful posters and Polish art, but it's also a benefit for KSFR.
Yes, and we had to do a very special show this time because, you know, this is independent public radio. We needed some of Poland's greatest artists who were really rebels and had a great influence on, in this case, world design. So we pulled deep into the collection. Most of these pieces have never been seen publicly before. And it's probably the most exciting premiere of three of Poland's greatest graphic designers that we've ever done.
You and I have talked on this program before about this crazy phenomenon of Polish post-war graphic design. What's up with that?
Well, when the war ended in 1945, the artists and professors cut a deal with the then communist regime to do the posters for the government on movies and Shakespeare and opera and dance, provided they had a hands-off policy on the artwork. And that's a very unique deal that they arranged, and it allowed for this explosion of almost revolutionary design from about 1945 for the next four decades. In Poland, if you were a poster designer, you were sort of the equivalent of an architect or a doctor. It was considered a profession, and almost the entire country's art history is recorded in their cultural poster design. So it's quite a historical and beautiful record.
It's amazing. How did it come to an end?
Well, it ended, ironically, with the Solidarity Movement when the Gdansk workers started in 1979, and by 89, the communists were tossed out of government. And the good side is the oppression and suppression ended, and the bad side for economically was the agencies all closed down. The Film Bureau, the music and opera and dance all closed, and there were no more subsidies to any of the artists. Most all of the great artists, and especially the three that we're going to that we're featuring, were either retired or deceased. So the movement had kind of reached the end of its renaissance.
Very interesting. It's one of the things that people forget to talk about when they talk about how awful communism is, that a lot of the time they really support their arts.
They did, and it really, without the pressure and the freedom, we may not have seen this explosion of surrealism and photo montage, expressionism, and it really followed a unique history of innovative art movement. So it's kind of its own thing, and it's an amazing show.
And we look forward to seeing it. It's at the Vintage Poster Gallery. It's at the very end of Canyon Road on the corner of
Palace and Canyon, right next to the Tea House. There'll be lots of activity there. Come on in. It's going to be a great party.
Today at 5?
Today at from 5 to 9, and it's a benefit for the run of the show for our wonderful KSFR Independent Radio.
And how long is the show going to be up?
Till the end of August.
Marty Rosenberg, thank you so much for what you're doing for KSFR and for this amazing collection that you've put together, and we'll see you there.
See you tonight.
Robert Knott, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to read one thing from Heather Rowan Robbins' Star Codes today. Here's the horoscope. After a sleepy and sensuous morning, our brains speed up as the moon enters Gemini. Reach out. Dialogue may be verbose and opinionated, but we're more open-minded than we sound. Conversation is lively but aimless tonight.
Verbose and opinionated. Was he talking about you or me?
Well, it says sleepy and sensuous as well. Kind of makes you wonder which one she's talking about.
Hmm.
And tonight I'm meeting an old friend for dinner, and I guess our conversation is going to be lively but aimless. I'll find out when I see him.
Do you think that every single conversation happening in the entire city of Santa Fe is going to be lively but aimless?
Well, if you're reading Heather Rowan Robbins' Star Codes in the Paso Tempo, I suspect that's going to happen.
So what's happening this weekend?
Well, we'll get back to the cowboy stuff later.
Yes, Soulmates opening at the New Mexico Museum of Art.
But Santa Fe vocalist and teacher Maddie
Tomorrow.
Sato is performing 7 o'clock Saturday at Warehouse 21.
She's fantastic
she
and
is.
Amazing.
She's teaming up with Remedy at Daybreak, and they're going to do a concert at 7 o'clock. Warehouse, 989-4423. Check out Paul Weideman's story in page 22 of Paso Tiempo today.
And before I forget, on Thursday, May 20th, that's next week, right? That's 6 days from now. The Santa Fe Brewing Company, the Round Mountain, and A.E., Brooklyn's stellar, otherworldly, Balkan, old-timey string duo is going to be teaming up at 7:30 in the evening. And I got a note from Round Mountain saying that this was happening, and it's a special event, so check it out at the Santa Fe Brewing Company.
And a week from tonight, Bruce Springsteen in the E Street Band in HD at the Lenzix. 7 o'clock, I got to call in
for tickets. HD?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They're not playing at the Brewing Company?
No. Oh, man, I grew up on Bruce. Come
Did
on.
You?
I got to call right now and get my tickets later. 988-1234.
Excellent. And the Los Von Von concert was canceled, I am very sad to say. Wow. That was happening on the 11th of June in Albuquerque. I guess the entire Los Von Von tour was canceled.
That's too bad. What's the reason?
I don't know. It wasn't visas or government stuff, apparently. It was some kind of business deal fell through.
Hmm. Robin Hood, the movie, opens today. Russell Crowe. I got to go review it.
You sound so enthusiastic.
It could be good. I don't know. We'll see. Film-wise, I do want to mention that the Santa Fe Community College's Advanced Filmmaking Program is letting three of its student filmmakers screen their pictures at 7 o'clock Sunday.
Nice.
Free at the New Mexico Film Museum, a.k.a. Jean Cocteau. There's a little blurb on it in my big picture column. Take a look and see. And also thinking ahead, a week from Saturday, the Santa Fe Reporters hosting of the annual 3-Minute Film Festival, runs at the Lensic. That's next Saturday night, 9/8/1234. I did not get an advanced screener this year. I usually do, so I haven't seen the pictures, but they're usually worth seeing. Like 3 out of 4 are good, so you go see it. So that's a week from Saturday. I'll mention that again next week. Rob DeWalt's cover story is on Dennis Larkins, who, among other things, did scenery, and maybe, I might be wrong about this, album cover art for the Grateful Dead, but he's really an artist in his own right. He's had an incredible career since he's been here in Santa Fe 40 years ago. Take a look at Rob's excellent story in PASA, page 32, and there's an opening for the show tonight, 5 o'clock, at Jenny Cooley Gallery, which makes sense because she does sock puppets. 826 Canyon Road, 983-2630. For what that's worth, that's right around the corner from Marty Rosenberg's gallery, and you just had him on for people that may have missed him. He's got an exhibit tonight of vintage poster works from 3 Polish graphic designers. Is that correct?
That's what we were just talking about.
And it's from 5 to 9. No, I know that, but some people may have tuned in right after he left or something. That's tonight. He's up on Canyon Road, and proceeds go to KSFR.
Part of the proceeds go to KSFR, and we are very delighted that he is so generous. Hey, there's a CD release party tonight at Rainbow Vision with Indigifem. It is a kind of world music duo, and that's at 8 o'clock, 21 and up, live show at 8:30. For more information, 428-7781.
Some theater happening. Teatro Paradox Glass teams up with Relative Good to present David Gow's show Relative Good down at the Teatro Paradox Glass studio on Richards Lane. That's tonight, final weekend, 8 o'clock, also Saturday, I suspect Sunday, 424-1601. If you want something new and different, coming up from Colorado is the Square Top Rep's original play, The Sun is in the West, 8 o'clock tonight, Armory for the Arts, 984-1370. See Jonathan Richards' preview story in Paso Tampa today. I have to mention the NDI doing Zing Goes My Heart, 5 and 7 o'clock tonight, Dance Barnes, 983-7661, probably through the weekend. You have to pay for all these events. We don't mention prices on the air here at KSFR. And finally, Children's Theater-wise, especially if you've got kids that like Dr. Seuss and those characters, Pandemonium Productions presents Seussical, the musical. That's kids 7 to 16.
Seussical, Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, yeah. It's those guys like Green Eggs and Ham and those other characters.
Right.
What's his name that hears a who?
Horton.
Yeah. I think they all show up like in cameo roles or something. It's like it's a mad world, except it's with Seuss, Dr. Seuss characters.
Chicks with bricks come, chicks with blocks come, chicks with bricks and blocks and clocks come. Look, sir, Mr. Knoxer, let's do tricks with bricks and blocks, sir. Let's do tricks with chicks and clocks, sir. First I'll make a quick trick brick stack, then I'll make a quick trick clock stack. You can make a quick trick brick stack. You're looking at me like...
And they tell me I'm the childish one on the show. 7 o'clock tonight, James A. Little Theater runs through the weekend, 982-3327.
I love Fox and Socks. That's my favorite children's book.
And if they have a Sunday matinee, which I think they do, I intend to go attend it.
Mary Charlotte,
yes.
Bravo for that. If you excuse me for a moment for breaking in, but multiple unnamed members of the KSFR family salute Robert Knott's recent terrific performance.
Yes.
In the trip to Bountiful.
Yes, indeed. And everybody in that performance, it was a terrific show put on by Ironweed Productions under the direction of Scott Harrison, Lois Viscoli, Mona Malik, Robert Knott, Vanessa Riosi Valles, many others. It was a terrific show, Robert.
Thanks.
Congrats.
It was a good, challenging run, and Scott Harrison's a great director. And along those lines, Patrick McFarland is having a collection of artwork and a salon, teaming up with Theater Grotesco at their Theater Grotesco rehearsal space, Oil for the Price of Water, 3 p.m. Reception 2:30 Saturday. Out of the Theater Grotesco rehearsal space, which is in the fashion outlet of Santa Fe. I keep forgetting to go out there and buy new sneakers.
Very nice.
474-8400.
Verve Gallery of Photography is presenting a 3-person exhibition with Verve Gallery artists Jane Martin, Jennifer Schlesinger, and Camille Vojnar. There's a reception today from 5 to 7 in the evening. It's up till July 3rd. And there's gallery talk tomorrow from 2 to 4. And that's a wonderful local gallery of photography. And you can check it out for more information. Let's see, you can call, I have the number here, 982-9111. Is that right?
Now listen to
this. Yes, 982-9111.
9111.
And they are on 219 East Marcy Street.
On Saturday.
Oh, no, I just gave you the fax number. It's 982-5009.
That happens sometimes.
I know.
Be careful, too, people, with your
No,
press
it's my
releases.
Fault. It says fax. I should be able to read.
Well, you should, but Saturday.
That's tomorrow.
Hanna Viva Chavez Community Center.
Indeed.
Skate Fest all day. 12 hours of skating competition from roughly 8 in the morning to 7 at night.
Nice.
Skaters from New Mexico, Colorado, Oklahoma, and Texas compete. It's not like roller derby. They're going to be on ice skates. It's very inexpensive to get in. You can call Nancy for information, 424-4986. If you like skating, if the kids like skating, 8 to 7, you go down there anytime. You want to go work out and you see them skating, watch them skate. It doesn't cost much. Go on. The Center for Contemporary Arts is presenting experimental international videos on Sunday, 8 o'clock. It's called Manipulated Image Number 13, Absence, Presence, Ausenica, Presenca. Presence, oh man. I don't know. Don't look
Manipulated,
at it,
that's at the CCA?
That's what this says, if it's correct. 982-1338, if we're mistaken, let us know. It's in the Posse Tempo calendar. Also, some writers are going to read from their work at Wild Oats Community Room Sunday at 3, behind the market. It's a nice little place. Among them are Debbie Brody and Zoe Bird.
Very nice.
It's free, 983-5333. And again, that's 3 o'clock Sunday at the Community Room at the Wild Oats.
And tonight at Santa Fe Complex, Chromosphere, featuring cellist Michael Cott, electronic music composer Dwight Loop, and full dome projection visuals by Joe Abraham Dean. And that's tonight from 9 to 11. And it says, join us for a harmonic and photonic conversion.
Wow.
Yeah. Santa Fe Complex. That's a great place. 632 Agua Fria Street.
Good. Fiesta Artistico is Capital High School of the Arts Student Showcase. Art, song, dance, movies, cakewalk, food, games. 5 to 8 p.m. tonight at the Bryant Font Theater. 467-1070. No admission charge, but tickets for food and activities are going to be at the door. Meanwhile, Santa Fe Prep is doing a Wild West Cantina, 6 o'clock tonight at El Museo Cultural, fundraiser with silent and live auctions and dinner. You got to pay to get in, 795-7516. And speaking of cowboys, let's go back to your interview for those that may have missed it. On Saturday, we've got Soulmates, S-O-L-E, Cowboy Boots and Art, Showcase of Symbols of Western Life, reception noon to 2 on Saturday, New Mexico Museum of the Art. I'm going to try to swing down there. Although, oddly enough, on Saturday, I have to get my cowboy boots resold. I got to go buy a new jean jacket because this one's falling apart. And I got a big cowboy poster I got to get framed. So I might be doing cowboy stuff on my own.
You're from New York, right?
I'm a Brooklyn buckaroo or a Coney Island cowboy, whatever you want to call it. And I wrote a little piece that goes with an excellent piece by Doug Fairfield on the exhibit that I just mentioned that curator Joe Traggett put together. And the show, by the way, runs through October. And I wrote a little piece on how the cowboy hats and styles infiltrated the movies, which he was talking about in his interview with you. And although I wasn't one of those little boys with the actual, like, Roy Rogers outfit, because it was the 1960s, a little past that, I did have, this is very strange, my mother bought me cowboy soap. There was a cowboy pistol and a cowboy and then a horse. And they were all soap, and they were yellow. But you know how, like, the soap was cheap if it wasn't Avon, if it wasn't Ivory? So, like, it didn't really make me feel fresh. But more importantly, as I used it, the shapes began to dissemble, and they were no longer... And then I wanted them back.
I can see little Robert not coming out of the shower and say, Mom, this makes me feel fresh.
No, it didn't make me feel fresh. That's my point.
It doesn't make me feel fresh.
And then plus I used it up. And I wish to this day I still had that cowboy soap.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is weird. Awakened Connections is having their opening event. It's Santa Fe's first Thai festival tomorrow from 1 to 4 at the Teatro Paraguas studio. It's free admission. And it's a cross-cultural event featuring Thai live music, traditional Thai food, Thai dance, food, a raffle, and a silent auction. Local artists from Santa Fe, Gerald Peters Gallery, and other artists from across the United States. And proceeds will benefit educational scholarships for children affected by HIV/AIDS in Thailand.
Excellent.
Very interesting.
Speaking
for more information, I'm just going to say, you can call 603-2656.
As you would often say to me, speaking of dogs, and I would be like, what are you talking about?
But I know. Well, as you would say, speaking of Raquel Welch.
You're the one imagining me stepping out of the shower.
I am not.
You, 2 minutes ago, you said on the air we caught you. Anyway, speaking of dogs, I know you're going to give me time for this. The annual Assistance Dogs of the West graduation ceremony.
Yes, we had them on earlier this week.
It's
They're
a very
great.
Moving situation. 6 o'clock Tuesday at the Convention Center downtown, 201 West Marcy. and these beautiful assistant dogs, which help out people with disabilities to promote independence, are going to be let go from graduation from training to go to their owners. So there's going to be crying and stuff, probably barking. You do have to pay to get in. Call 988-1234. If you want more information, check out assistancedogsofthewest.org or, as I said, call the Lenzic 988-1234. It's almost studio tour time, which is why the El Dorado Studio Tour is having one. 117 artists in 83 studios. Yay! That's tomorrow.
That's this weekend.
And Sunday from 10 to 5. Best thing to do is check out eldoradoartstore.org. My guess is if you drive to El Dorado, you know, I-25 to US 285 and turn south, 10-minute drive, you're going to find signs saying this away. So El Dorado is going to be overrun with artists and people visiting them and hopefully buying stuff and promoting the economy. El Dorado Studio Tour this weekend, 10 to 5.
And let's talk about our local bookstores tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Garcia Street Books. Linda Wittenberg, poet, whom we had on, I think, yesterday, is reading from her book, Tender Harvest, Book of Poetry. And then tonight at Collected Works Bookstore at 6 o'clock, Diana Joseph, author of I'm Sorry You Feel That Way, and Rob Wilder, represented in the anthology What Would I Tell Her, are having a conversation, readings, reception. That's at Collected Works Bookstore. And then on Monday, the Santa Fe Art Institute presents poet Cynthia Hoag in a reading at Collected Works. That's at 6 in the evening. And then on Tuesday at 6, the Southwest Indian Arts Poetry Series continues at Collected Works with readings by Orlando White and Ivan Morris. Wonderful bookstores that we have here in town. 988-4226 is the number to call for more information for Collected Works.
Those two books have much longer titles than you said, by the way.
Oh, really?
Rob Wilder's book is actually called What I Would Tell Her, : 28 Devoted Dads I'm Bringing Up, Holding On To, and Letting Go of Their Daughters. Whereas her book,
What I Would Tell
Diana Joseph, is actually I'm Sorry You Feel That Way, : The Astonishing But True Story of a Daughter, Sister, Slut, Wife, Mother, and Friend to Man and Dog. So when you have long titles like that, you just know there's going to be anecdotes and, frankly, antics.
Anecdotes and antics.
The Santa Fe Symphony Orchestra is going to have guitars.
Or anecdotes, if you want to combine them.
No, you need an anecdote when you're sick and you go to the doctor and say, give me an anecdote for this. Santa Fe Symphony Orchestra with guitar soloist David Starobin, 6 o'clock Saturday at the Lenzic, 988-1234. He's going to be doing the music of Spain, Latin America, and Santa Fe. James Keller, an excellent writer for the Pasatiempo. I'm really happy with the new writers Pasatiempo's brought in, even as they edge out that character, the baboon-faced guy with the glasses. He's always clowning on the radio, that Robert Knott guy, who's having a blast on the education beat, by the way. So James Keller wrote a good piece called Connected by Strings in Pasatiempo, page 20. Take a look-see. Now, what do you know about the 13th annual crawfish boil at Second Street Brewery?
Not one thing.
What about the Gumbo Project?
Gumbo Project are great.
Well, it's going to be 1 o'clock Saturday. There's going to be a one-year anniversary of the Gumbo Project, and then a 5 o'clock performance by Sad House Daddy, and an 8:30 performance by Melted Betty. And I think this all has something to do with the 13th annual Crawfish Boil at 2nd Street Brewery on 2nd Street, 982-3030. That's the original 2nd Street. Bill Hearn will be there at 12:30 Sunday. 5 o'clock is the Jazz Explosion. It looks like a weekend of fun at the 2nd Street Brewery, the old 2nd Street Brewery, not the new one down by the rail yard, which has very cold beer and a rail runner that runs through. So take a look-see. We already talked about the Dennis Larkins. We talked about The Sun is in the West. Go ahead.
Linda Tucker is the founder of the Global White Lion Protection Trust, and she's the author of the book Mystery of the White Lions, and she'll be at the ARC bookstore on Monday night at 5 o'clock to talk about her book and do a book signing, and then there's going to be a fundraiser for the Global White Lion Protection Trust on Tuesday at the Center for Spiritual Living at 6:30. And I've just been reading that book, and she's going to be on the air on Monday morning here on the Radio Cafe. And it's quite a story. There are these white lions that are native to a small region of Africa, and they were nearly extinct, and they were basically all held in captivity where people were using them to be raised and then shot for trophies. It's sort of awful. People collect in the heads of endangered species on their walls. It's really ugly. But she is doing a great job of trying to protect them and get ever more land for them so that they can live in the wild.
That's pretty cool.
It is really cool. It's really cool. And she was this beautiful fashion model lady who worked in marketing and PR and advertising, and she just stopped everything she was doing in order to devote her life to saving these lions in South Africa.
On Saturday afternoon, Stories Behind the Santos, Tesoros de Devoción Symposium. It's going to have an array of lectures by historians, artists, and scholars on the various aspects of the Santero craft. 10:30 and 1:30 and 3 p.m. Saturday, New Mexico History Museum Auditorium on Lincoln Avenue. It's by museum admission.
New Mexico History Museum does so much stuff at their location.
Museum.
It's incredible.
That's where the Solon boots cowboy thing is, right? I got to keep going.
No,
back
there's the History Museum and then there's the Art Museum.
Oh, it's the Art Museum.
So here's another event that's happening on Wednesday night of next week. The Santa Fe Farmers Market Institute is screening a film, Food Stamped, by two people, a wonderful young couple who have moved to Santa Fe not too long ago. And the movie is about the two of them thinking about how you could live on the food budget provided by Food Stamped. And they made a documentary about it, which is both humorous and brings up really major issues of food production and consumption in the United States and agricultural subsidies and all this stuff. And they managed to do it, but it was not easy.
Excellent. Say again when it's running.
It's 7 o'clock on Wednesday at the Santa Fe Farmers Market. And you can go to santafefarmersmarket.com or call 983-7726 for more information.
That's nice. Among the other movies playing around town, Letters to Julia, a comedy with Amanda Seyfried, answers a letter written 50 years earlier, a love letter, and helps its author, Vanessa Redgrave, find the true love she left behind.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. Regal 14. I already mentioned Robin Hood, which I'm going to see.
I always think those love letter plays and movies and films are going to be so wonderful. And sometimes they are, but
quite often they're sappy.
Yeah.
Iron Man 2's playing around town. Bob Benziger reviewed it. The Wind Journeys is at CCA. Casey Sanchez reviewed it. Take a look, see what's happening there. There's a number of opening art events tonight. And while we're at it, let me plug a few musicians since we only have a minute or two left. You've got Soul Man Sam at La Fiesta Lounge tonight, 8 o'clock. You've got Jerry Carthy at El Cañon at the Hilton at 6, no cover. You've got Daniel Link at Backwood Pizza, 7:30 tonight, no cover. The Hot Club of Santa Fe is doing their Gypsy Jazz and Swing at 2nd Street Brewery at the Rail Yard at 6:30. And
Tradiciones at the El Dorado tonight from 8:30 to 11:30.
That's Cuban music. Very small admission charge, so get out and dance. It's that time of year. Get out and listen to music. And belly dancers at Cleopatra Cafe tomorrow night at 6.
Very nice.
I just met a belly dancer. She came to my play.
And Ambassador Avis Bolin, in collaboration with the American Academy of Diplomacy, will be talking about diplomacy and non-proliferation tomorrow from 10 to 12 at the Forum at the College of Santa Fe tomorrow morning. And it's sponsored by the Santa Fe Council on International Relations. And we tried to get her on the air, weren't able to do it just because of scheduling problems, but it should be a very interesting conversation.
So tonight, go see the Marty Rosenberg Art Show that benefits KSFR up on Canyon.
One more thing.
Tomorrow, Soulmates, Cowboy Boots and Art.
Tomorrow from 10 to 2 at the Little Earth School, they are having an event, Dia del Niño Celebration, and Wise Fool and stilt walking and juggling and all these kinds of good things, cupcake decorating, beanbag toss.
Boy.
Yeah, we will be there, heck.
I want to eat the cupcakes.
988-1968 for more information, Little Earth School. Boy, we didn't get to everything. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, if you sent me a listing and I didn't read it.
It happens
from time to time, but we do the best we can. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org. Podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Oh, I've got to say one more thing. Rovar 17 and Emese at Santa Fe Complex on Monday from 8 to 10. And it's a band that's coming all the way from Budapest, Hungary.
Wow.
Experimental noise band.
I'm hungry for them.
Yeah. All right, broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, we just have 10 seconds left. Robert Knott, have a wonderful weekend.
That's great
to talk to you, as always.
I see by your smile that you are a cowgirl.
Ciao.